If you would, to Psalm 23, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, let's read this psalm responsively. I'll read the first verse, and we'll all read the second verse together and so on. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful psalm. Thank you, dear God, for all the various meanings that come from here. I pray, Father, you give us ears to hear. I pray, Father, this message, dear God, would comfort the hearts of many. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this psalm is one of the most uplifting passages found throughout the entire Bible. It is a psalm of the great shepherd who cares for his sheep. While these six verses, with its 119 words, has a message for the sorrowing, its primary focus is what Jesus is doing on behalf of believers all the days of our lives as we follow him and put our trust in him. This psalm has been referred to as a psalm of the crook, as it lies between the psalm of the cross and the psalm of the crown. And in Psalm 22, we read of the good shepherd who died. And in Psalm 24, the chief shepherd who's coming again. And then in Psalm 23, of the great shepherd who cares for his sheep. Now, there's no question as to who the human penman that was used by God to write this beautiful Old Testament hymn. It was the sweet psalmist of Israel himself, and David was his name. Where and when this song was first sung is anyone's guess. Some believe it was on the hills of Bethlehem. And David, as a young man, would watch his father's sheep and he would sing this psalm. Others think it was sung before King Saul attempted David before David would be used by God to ease the evil spirit that came upon King Saul. That then there are those who believe that David wrote this psalm when his own son Absalom rose up against him in an attempt to seize his throne from his father. I tend to believe it was given to David when he was up in years and he had experienced much sorrow and much heartache. It seems that these words given by God to David are taking David back to those days when he was just a shepherd. You know, when he wasn't so burdened down with all the responsibilities of being a king and the problems that he was currently facing. This psalm appears to bring David back to what would be known as the good old days when his life was much simpler and with far less troubles. This psalm turned his attention away from himself and had him focus on the Lord. Christian, I don't know what you're going through or what trial you're in the midst of or what your burden may be and how heavy it is, how severe your heartbreak is. But I do know many are hurting. Some have suffered the loss of a spouse. They're lonely. Others of loved ones that you miss terribly. Then there are those who are hurt because of prodigal children. Some perhaps are in ill health with no real hope from the doctors of ever getting better. And some may experience marital problems, financial problems. And they wonder, hey, is our dues going to last? Or how are the bills going to get paid? Well, I pray this message will encourage you, because everything changes when you keep your eyes on the shepherd. Notice our Lord is a particular shepherd. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about this psalm is the first word. That first word is the. David didn't write, a Lord is my shepherd, or some Lord is my shepherd. David nor any one of us needs some false god shepherding us. Right. Now, there are many false gods in our world today, but only one that is worth following, only one God, only one Lord, and he is the shepherd spoken of here. He is unique. He's one of a kind. He's beyond compare. And no other false god could touch the hem of his garment. It is said of him in Isaiah 43, verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. In Isaiah 45, 5, we read this of him, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. We as his sheep are in dire need of the shepherd's love, his care, and his provision on our earthly sojourn, with all its weariness, all its wants, duties, and damages and difficulties. We need one who will lead us in untrodden and unknown paths of tomorrow. One who will always be at hand to relieve and undertake for us, and is powerful enough to supply our every need. One who is wise enough to solve our every problem, and one who comforts us in every hurt. Thank God the shepherd is Jesus. Thank God he is matchless. Number two, he's a perfect shepherd. Now the second word in this psalm is Lord. And notice it's all in capital letters. It is the Hebrew word Yahweh, and it speaks of the Lord being the self-existent one. One who is eternal, one who is named Jehovah. Jesus is the Holy One of Acts 3:14. And Daniel declared him to be the most holy in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. This means that the shepherd has never made a mistake, and the shepherd never will. He never went any place he wasn't supposed to go. He never thought anything he wasn't supposed to think. He never said anything he wasn't supposed to say, nor did he ever do anything that he was not supposed to do. He could stand before a crowd, and he could say, which of you convinceth me of sin? No one could, for he is sinlessly perfect. We read this about him in Isaiah 53:9. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. We read this in Hebrews 4, this verse 15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then in Hebrews 7:26, it tells us this. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Listen, whatever heartache you are facing, whatever obstacle is in your way, and whatever the adversity you find yourself in, it helps when you understand that the perfect shepherd allowed it to come into your life, that he makes no mistakes. And he'll take us through it as we trust that he knows what's best for us. Yes, Jesus is a particular shepherd. He is a perfect shepherd. And number three, he is a present shepherd. He's a present shepherd. David knew the truth that his shepherd was ever present, and his watch care over him was constant. So he was never in want. And David could look back on his life and say, the day I met Goliath on the battlefield, the day I knocked him out and took his head off, he was a present shepherd with me. When we all came back from the routing of the Philistine army, and the women were having a parade in the streets and singing my praises, he was one who was with me. The same day that Samuel anointed my head with oil in front of my brothers, in front of my fathers, he was with me. But could he not also look back and say, I was on the run from Saul, going hither and thither in the wilderness and in caves? My shepherd never left me. He did not forsake me. He didn't forsake me when my 600 men spake a stone in me, nor did he depart from me when I sinned against Bathsheba. He was with me when Absalom tried to take away my crown. He was with me every step of the way, through the good times and the bad. David could say about the shepherd, just when I needed him most, Jesus was near to comfort and cheer. Christian, when we go through trials and we go through heartaches, we can look back on the mountaintops and we can look back on the valleys and realize our present shepherd has been with us all the way. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and he loveth us at all times. Number four, he or Jesus is a personal shepherd. A personal shepherd. You know, the psalm starts out and it says, the Lord is what? My shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is your shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is somebody else's shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, it makes total sense for us to put our trust in him. And then we can sing, once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that not only can I claim him, but he's willing to claim me. He died for me. He loves me. He deserves a relationship with me, and he desires to have one with me. He's my shepherd. I'm one of his sheep. Listen to my personal shepherd's words that are found in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. When you look up and say, I'm glad I have you as my shepherd, he looks down and rejoices that we are part of his flock, and he isn't willing to let anyone out of his omnipotent hand. Number five, Jesus is a providing shepherd. A providing shepherd. David said, I shall not want. The providing shepherd meets every single need that we have. He provides us with rest. Verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Does not Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 29, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now many don't realize that there are two kinds of rest that Jesus offers here. When we come to Christ and put our faith in his finished work on the cross, he gives us the rest of salvation. You know, salvation is not something you work for. Salvation is something that Jesus provided. And when he cried from the cross, it is finished. All we need to do is believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. But then there's a second rest. And that's when we take his yoke upon us and learn of him. Then we find the deeper rest of surrender and obedience. To take the yoke means that we become his disciples. Means that we get the yoke with him. And that second rest will cost us something, as it entails the sacrifice of self and doing his will. Yet when one finds himself in the yoke with Jesus, they're not the one doing the pulling. So let us be of those who enter into that second rest. Then he provides refreshment. He says in verse 2, he leadeth me beside still waters. You know, one thing about sheep is they don't like troubled waters. They will not drink from a troubled or a fast-moving stream. They must have still waters. You know, we must follow the shepherd if we will be led to living fountains of water, where our thirst for God will be quenched. You know, in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, the psalmist writes this: as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I wonder how many of us are thirsty for God. How many of us would love to be quenched as we draw nigh to him and he draws nigh to us? I think so many of us are content with the little bit of Christianity we have. We don't thirst for a deeper, far more closer relationship with the Lord. Thirst is a familiar image in a quest for fellowship with God and the satisfaction it brings. We ought to be drawn ever nigh to the shepherd who is certain to quench our thirst for him and all that we have need of. He provides restoration. In verse 3, it says, he restoreth my soul. These words are amongst the most precious found in this psalm. They speak to the experience of us all who at times are in need of restoring grace. We are all prone to wander. We're not always obedient as we should. And at times, our hearts have grown cold to the things of God. At times, there's a spiritual decline. We may neglect the Word of God. Sometimes we avoid the prayer closet for days or weeks on end. Sometimes we avoid the fellowship of the saints in the church house. Sometimes it is a result of some unconfessed sin. Worldliness creeps into our lives. Neglect of some known command causes the heart to grow cold, or we simply start to follow the shepherd afar off. There are many signs of spiritual decline, yet how willing our shepherd is to restore us. He restored David after his illicit affair with the wife of Uriah and then having him killed in battle. And he restored Peter after this apostle denied him 3 times. David waited for over a year to be restored. And Peter, some days. But one should not wait to claim forgiveness now. And then you'd be able to shout, he restoreth my soul. He provides righteousness. For as David writes, he leadeth me in paths of what? Righteousness. You know, our Bible is a book of commands. And yes, it has its fair shares of do's and don'ts. It has thou shalt and thou shalt not. And none of them are suggestions, but they are rather commands and they need to be obeyed. Now this path of righteousness whereby he will lead us, they are found right here in the Word of God. These paths are well worn, for the godly have been treading them for quite some time, and we, according to Jeremiah, are to seek the old paths. We are to be of those who get back to the Lord's way for living. Are we not told in 2 John verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. You know, you meet a lot of believers today and they tell you how much they love Jesus. But you know, they don't prove it by their actions. They don't prove it by their obedience to his commands. He said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. How well are we doing? Is our heart really fixed upon him? Are we obedient to what he has to say? We are to walk in the paths found right here in the Word of God. On this path of righteousness, there are green pastures, waters that are clear and still. And it's on these paths where we will bring no shame to the wonderful name of Jesus. Well, we have a particular shepherd, a perfect shepherd, a present shepherd, a personal shepherd, a providing shepherd, but we also have a protecting shepherd, a protecting shepherd. When we read verse 4, most believers only seem to get the first part of that verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and they fail to pick up the rest of that verse. But David in his old age is coming face to face with his own mortality. And yes, if Jesus doesn't come for us at the rapture, we'll all go to him through the door of death. Has it ever dawned on you that you can't have a shadow without a bright light on the other side? You do realize that a shadow of a vicious dog can't bite you, nor the shadow of a mountain lion attack you. It is only a shadow. And since Jesus took the sting out of death, we are told to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Should one really, as a believer, fear death striking us down when it results in us going up into heaven? Are we not told to die is gain? Is our faith in the Scriptures where they were good to live by? But should they not also be good to die by? We go through the valley. We do not stay in it. Our shepherd protects us with his presence. We may not realize this, but as long as our protecting shepherd is leading the way, we have nothing to fear. No trial, no tribulation, no storm or evil medical report or financial crisis. Our family problems should cause us to get all shook up like Elvis Presley. We are to have the peace of God, for he is always with us. He protects us with his power. His rod and his staff give us comfort. Now, a shepherd uses his rod to protect his sheep against all enemies that'll do his flock harm. He uses that staff to lift up fallen sheep and keep them from wandering off as well. Every now and then, he would reach out with that rod and thump a sheep on its head when it was behaving badly, all to bring them back to the paths of righteousness. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, we read, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Our shepherd does not use his rod to be mean. He uses it because he loves us and wants us to stay on the paths of righteousness. And if you don't respond to conviction, he'll step up the means whereby ye are chastised. And number 7, he's a preparing shepherd. Verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. When he says, I'll anoint my head with oil, David is symbolizing God's favor and blessing upon him. David is saying in his old age, you know what? You keep on blessing me. And so much so that my cup runneth over, and I believe the saucer did too. He gets busy counting his blessings and got so caught up in doing so, he had no time to complain about the wrongs he had suffered in the past, the adversity that he was presently in. He, like all of us, should realize that God has been better to us than we ever deserved. We are favored by him. We are loved everlastingly, and we are abundantly blessed. Listen, we who are saved have our sins forgiven. We're on our way to heaven. We're indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God. We have access to the throne of grace. All the promises found in the Word of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. We all have been blessed. We continue to be blessed. And he is preparing his blessings for us tomorrow. While being a follower of the Good Shepherd may not always be a bed of roses, but even those tough times, they're meant for our good. I'm telling you, the abundant life is one where we are blessed forevermore. Even those tough times, God turns them into our good. Then he's a permanent shepherd. Notice verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, what? All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now this psalm ends in an amazing way. And I'm quite sure that when David first penned these words, he had no idea how many people would be impacted and influenced by them, or how treasured these words would be all of these years. What a great promise we believers have, that no matter what's going on in our lives, goodness and mercy are dogging our steps and will continue to do so all the days of our earthly sojourn. Yet there's coming a time when we will no longer be followed by goodness and mercy. And so as that promise expires, the next one doesn't. For it goes on to say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For the saved, it just gets gooder and gooder. You say, that ain't good English. Ain't good English? Give me a break. Folks, we have a permanent shepherd. Not just for time, but for all of eternity. And nothing will ever change that for one of his own. Whatever trial, tribulation, heartache, or storm you're facing, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Follow him ever so closely, for all's well that ends well. When you have a particular shepherd, a perfect shepherd, a present shepherd, a personal shepherd, a providing shepherd, a protecting shepherd, a preparing shepherd, and a permanent shepherd, how can things go wrong? Everyone needs this shepherd. If you're here and you can't say, the Lord is my shepherd, you need to come forward and let somebody show you how that can take place, how you can be saved and not leave this house unjustified. Then you can go out singing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead me. Those who